This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works? Grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
UnitedSpinal.org.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
ESPN, courtesy of the call. Oh, man. Couple days away from the NCAA tournament. This is absolutely the best. Love this time of year. You know who else loves this time of year? Our guest at this time. Now, last time we had him on the show, I remarked, drawing paychecks from a lot of different places and a lot of really good places. I think we've added one to the list now because our friend Alan Cuff, not just, you know, SiriusXM, not just the Field of 68, not just Turner Sports, but part of Yahoo's coverage last night of Selection Sunday. He's absolutely crushing it, kills it as an analyst, loves betting the sport as well. Our friend Alan Cuff joins us here on You Better You Bet to break down the NCAA tournament. My friend, happy March Madness to you and yours.
Oh, thank you, my friend. Great to be on with you. And I got to get back to Westwood One for the first time in a long time. I got to call a game on Westwood One last weekend. We called the America East Final. DJ Armstrong, this kid went bonkers for 32 points. He had 9 points in the last, like, 4 minutes. There were crazy threes. So got to be back in the mix there, too. It was lovely.
Oh, love to have you as part of the Westwood One family as well. It's like, man, it's a good time to be Dallin Cuff. Great time to be my friend Dallin Cuff. Before we get to the regions, my friend, and how you see it playing out, you know, you cover the sport all season long, right? It feels like to me that this is the bracket. Maybe since I've been watching the sport religiously since like the early 90s, like 1991, 1992, the bracket that people have had the least amount of problems with. Like, people can have their gripes, like maybe St. John's and Vandy should have been fours instead of fives, but it feels like, for the most part, people are pretty happy with this bracket. Do you think the committee nailed it with this field of 68? Pun not intended.
Yeah, I think they did. That's a great point. I really didn't have any big problems. I think part of the reason for that is the bubble, you're on the bubble because you're inconsistent, but I also thought the bubble was weak. There weren't a lot of teams that I thought, hey, there was huge injury issues that weren't taken into account, or this team has really been on an upswing. If you watch them in November, December, then watch them now, they're completely different, and they just should have been looked at differently. I think by and large, a lot of teams played themselves out of contention. A lot of teams that needed to perform in Champ Week or the last week or two of the season did not. And that's how you ended up here. So as far as selection, I think is good. You hit a couple of the seeding things. I would have argued probably Boston, Wisconsin could have been seeded a bit differently. I thought UVA may have been seeded a bit high, but overall, it's pretty good. Pretty good job by the committee.
Let's start macro, my man, and then we will get micro and we'll hit the regions. You know, last time we had you on the show, I asked you this question. I asked the question to our audience today as well, and I'm fascinated if you feel differently this morning than you did the last time that you were on the show with the end of the regular season and conference tournaments now in the rearview mirror. So if I gave you the option, national championship, the 4-1 seeds, Duke, Michigan, Arizona, Florida, or the field to win it all, you get the other 64 teams or one of the 1 seeds. Are you taking the 1 seeds or are you taking everybody else and why?
Oh, I'm 100% taking the 1 seeds. Because I think that they have separated over the course of the last month. It's become really clear. It was about a month ago, yeah, that I think I started thinking this grouping, it seems separate. And it was Duke, Arizona, Michigan at the time. And then Florida started to they solidified their spot over the rest of February. Obviously didn't play well against Vanderbilt, but I don't really care about that. Michigan didn't play that well against Purdue and has some issues. We'll get to that in a second. But I would take those 4. I think they have separated. So you're giving me all of those. I think they are the most likely. I think 2 of them I feel are really great, really strong about them getting to the Final Four. So if you're going to give me 2 of the 4 spots with I think the 2 best teams actually. In my mind, I would take the 1 seeds over the field just because I think that what they pose in terms of size for all 4 of the 1 seeds, the size of in the interior, the playmaking that they have at different spots, the coaching as well. I think they're an elite group that I would take them over everybody else.
I love it. So let's start then with the East region, right? And we'll run through this. We'll get to the 1 seeds you like, the 1 seeds you don't like. Duke is the 1 seed in the East, and this is a loaded region, which we've been talking about all throughout the show. UConn, the 2 at 6-1, Michigan State at 7-1, St. John's 9, Louisville 13, Kansas 15, UCLA 22. Those, of course, are the betting odds to make the Final Four, not the seeds of the teams. Duke, the favorite, obviously the number 1 overall seed in the tournament, -135. How do you handicap, Dallin? How do you see the East region playing out, obviously led by the number 1 overall seed, the Duke Blue Devils?
Yeah, just as we praise the committee, I don't quite understand Duke's path. I do think the brand names do not equal really good teams. Okay, they're not the same thing. But when you look at the matchups that they have with some of these teams, could be problematic, coupled with the fact that Duke's not healthy. I mean, Caleb Foster is not coming back. And Caden Boozer obviously did play much better. As the ACC tournament went on, but Patrick Gumba is their most important player. I've been saying this for weeks. Nobody replicates what that dude can do. He is your rim protector on one side. He alters a ton of shots. He controls the middle in terms of rebounding on both sides. Great rim runner, huge, big time athlete that just changes their team. There's nobody else that can approximate what he does for that squad. And we don't know what he's going to look like. And he's had foot issues in high school last year and this year, both feet. I believe this one's the right foot now, and he's had this one surgically repaired a couple years ago. So there's a lot of questions here, and we'll see what he looks like. But I think they have the hardest 8-9 seed with the TCU Ohio State. Either one of those games I think is harder than any other 8-9 game. I think you look at St. John's or KU, both can present real big challenges in different ways. I mean, Darren Peterson still is – this dude can change the narrative around his season if he shows up like the guy we think he could be and plays well and is efficient. And you have to couple that with Bill Self and then a really good team, a team that can really defend. I mean, that's a really tough matchup if they get past St. John's, which St. John's obviously won the Big East and won the regular season Big East and the conference tournament. So they're in the bottom of the half of the bracket. I like Michigan State to come out of that and meet Duke. I think Duke can survive it. I have them in my Final Four. There's obviously no betting value there. I think Michigan State or St. John's, if you're playing a team to come out of that region with some sort of value, I think it's either those are the 2 plays that I would take a look at. I have neither of those. Like I said, I have Duke coming out, but it is a challenging bracket. I think of all the 1 seeds, I think it's strange that they got put into this group. Now, they have the weakest 2 in UConn, I believe. UConn, I think, is the weakest 2, and like I said, Michigan State beating UConn to get to that Elite 8. But I still think Duke survives, but it's not easy.
That's a really comprehensive breakdown of the East region. So Dallin with Duke, but acknowledging the road will not be easy for the number one overall seed, the Blue Devils. My friend, let's move to the South region now, where the reigning defending national champion Florida Gators seeking to go back to back. So Florida, the one here, a potential Sweet 16 date awaits against Vanderbilt, who just slammed them in the SEC tournament by 17 in the semifinals. Bottom of this bracket, I love the two and the three seeds. I'd be pretty surprised and love to get your take on this over the course of the answer. If we get a Sweet 16 matchup, that's not Houston and the Illini at the bottom of the South region. Florida, the favorite, as you might imagine, plus 165. Houston, plus 250. The Illini, plus 300. Vandy and Nebraska, both at 11. What about the South region, Dallin?
Just something to note here that Kelvin Sampson, bit of an evil genius. When you are the host, so you need a host university at each one of the sites, you cannot play in that site. So Houston is the South region semi-Sweet 16 and Elite Eight matchup. What is interesting about that is he made sure that Rice is the host there. So Houston can play, and Houston will play in Houston and play at home. And we've seen in past tournaments that has value when you are playing in your own backyard. That is a very different experience. So keep that in mind as you're filling out the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight piece of this thing. I have Illinois, Houston, UF, and Vandy. I have Vandy beating Nebraska. Nebraska's been a good story. That is an interesting clash of styles with them and Vandy. It's not a huge, it's a seed upset. I think Vandy actually will be the favorite by the bookies, despite them carrying the five and Nebraska carrying the four. In this region, too, just a quick ups. I mean, VCU, I think, is a bit of a trendy pick, VCU over North Carolina. Sometimes I'm too close to things, Nick. I covered the A-10 all year for USA. I like VCU's team. They've won 22 out of 24. They have good positional size and athleticism. Not sure how they handle Henry Vassar, the big for Carolina. But without Caleb Wilson, this Carolina team is markedly different. They've had some pretty good wins without him, all that said. But VCU winning that game straight up is something I'm looking at. Not a ton of – pretty chalky in this region outside of that. And I think ultimately it's going to be UF – it's going to be Florida and Houston in that Elite Eight. I did struggle with the Illinois-Houston game. Illinois is an elite offensive team. And if they can play through that pick and roll, anytime you get on a pick and roll with Houston, they're going to blast the ball screen. That's two guys playing one. So Keaton Wagler is going to see a lot of that. Can he get it either swung ahead or get it reversed or hit a short roll guy, and they can play out of that and have odd man opportunities 4-on-3? That's the real question here, if they can get that done. I think they can. I don't think they can defend enough consistently to win the game against Houston in their own backyard. So I have Houston, and it would be an interesting clash of styles. Florida-Houston rematch from last year. Give me Florida again. I think they get past Vandy. Remember, they beat Vandy in Vanderbilt earlier in the year. That performance the other day was they were bad. Vanderbilt was really good. And I think that will help, you know, for lack of a better term, these guys will be fully locked in when they get to see Vanderbilt again. I like Florida coming out of the South region as well.
I ask you this question not as a gotcha to be like, you're wrong. I think you know more about this than I do, candidly. So I'm fascinated to hear your opinion on this, right? Because just from like an on-court perspective, you always hear in March, Dallin, right, that guard play rules the day. Now, not that Florida's guards are bad, but it's not like Walter Clayton's there like last year, right? And, you know, we had a pro sports bettor Joey Kanish on the show last hour, and he's talking about Bennett Sturts in Iowa, if they get past Clemson, maybe giving Florida a game. And I think about Houston's backcourt with Kingston Flemings, and you talked about, you know, Wagler and Illinois and what Illinois brings to the table. You have Florida in the Final Four. Do you have legitimate concern about Florida's backcourt heading into the NCAA tournament?
No, I did in November, December. They've played for the last 3 months. They've learned to play inside out. Those guys, Xavier Lee is not taking a ton of step-back jumpers and threes. Boogie Flan is not demanding the ball and going being the first option anymore. They play through Thomas Houck. They're going to rebound the ball very well. They're the best front court in college basketball, and their guards are good. They're just not elite. When you get a price tag of $2 million on you, Nick, and you're coming from Princeton, everybody thinks, what's this kid about? And is this guy supposed to be awesome? Bear in mind, David Lee was on draft boards as a sophomore when he was at Princeton. He still is. Now, he can struggle with some size at times. We've seen that. But his role has been more diminished. They don't need the ball in his hands. And guards are critical in March. I'm not saying that's wrong. He can still go help you get a bucket. Boogie Flan, mind you, was a top 10 recruit. Still a high-level guy that can beat you off the bounce and also is one of the best defensive guards in the country. This is a total team that I think has guards that can make plays for you. The front court is way improved over last year. They needed Walter Clayton, obviously, and sometimes you need that dude in March. I'm not going to say that that's wrong. I think their guards are undervalued. I think Urban Klabchar has been great off the bench. Isaiah Brown is a high-level player that comes off the bench, too. They're shooting at a much better clip over the last month. I mean, they were shooting 29% earlier in the year. Then they got to, if you look at league play in February, they get to like 34%. They were up around 38, 39% as you got to late February into March. They're good. And I think that's like Iowa, when you look at Iowa, is completely Bennett Sturts dependent. And he's a good player. And he's going to be an NBA player. But they have holes all over that team elsewhere. So that this is like, I understand you need good guards. And I bet it's trite but true. I think their guards are undervalued. And I know their front court's outstanding.
You better you bet on this Monday. Westwood One Sports. Our guest, the great Dallin Cuff. Turner Sports. Yahoo Sports. Field of 68. Crushing it. Sirius XM as well. Our friends at Westwood One Sports on Twitter at Dallin Cuff. Let's go to the West region. And I said earlier in the show, Dallin, it feels like to me, at the moment at least, Arizona, the most unimpeachable one seed, the one that you can poke the least holes in, whether it's because of recent run of form and overall health. I think we're looking at an Arizona-Purdue regional final here. Arizona, obviously the favorite at minus 120, Purdue at plus 360, AJ DeBonsa and BYU at 60-1 if you think they can make a run. Dallin, what about the West region?
I think you're dead right on Arizona. They have the highest floor, and they've had it, and they've showed it all year. From the day one, when we started the season against Florida on November 3rd, they came out gangbusters, and they've shown a level of consistency outside of two games, one at the road on the road to Kansas and one at home against Texas Tech in consecutive games. It was 1 week. Outside of that 1 week, they have been by far the most consistent team. They won the toughest league in the country in the regular season. They won the toughest conference tournament in the Big 12. I mean, I think their draw actually sets up pretty well for them. I think the bottom of their bracket is the weakest bottom. I think they have the weakest two and the three, and I'll get there in a second. They have maybe one of the more challenging four and fives with Arkansas and Wisconsin. Arkansas does not guard at all. Darius Acuff Jr. He's on a different planet. But I think I like Wisconsin to come out of that game, actually. I think their two guards with Nick Boyd and John Blackwell. Defense for both these teams becomes a challenge. I think the Wisconsin's ability and guys that have done it before have, you know, obviously Nick Boyd played in the Final Four. Blackwell's a little bit more of a seasoned player. I like Wisconsin to play Arizona, however, Arizona to advance. At the bottom of the bracket, me and you have a pretty big difference here. This is my, you know, one big upset opportunity. I don't love Purdue. And I know what we become with recency bias. I know what they just did this week in the Big Ten tournament. But I can't unsee what I saw the last 12 games of the regular season where they went 6-6. And they struggled to defend, and there was some infighting within the guys. And there's Braden Smith late game, who's usually a stud, having many games, whether it was UCLA or Wisconsin, and you can go through it, like just not being the guy. They need him to be late game, and defensively, as a team, they have problems, and their guards at times can be abused. Missouri is playing at home. They had a home game against Miami. That is the closest 10-7 spread. It's a 1.5-point line as of last night. I've not looked this morning if there's been any movement. Check me if it has. But they are a 1.5-point dog to Miami. They are physical. They are big at the 3, 4, and 5 spot. Miami plays inside out, too. I like them winning that game in their own backyard in St. Louis. And against Purdue, I think their big guards could give them a little bit of trouble. And I think this could be a game where you have a high major 10 seed that have a lot of athletes and physicality against a Purdue team that has struggled with athletes and physicality at times, and have Mizzou upsetting Purdue. I think right now the Sweet 16 for Mizzou was something like 12-1, 11-1 in different books last night, if you want to take a little sprinkle on that. I think Gonzaga is the weakest 3 seed, playing without, still probably likely without Braden Huff, more of a defensive-minded Gonzaga team. The challenge here with BYU, as you mentioned, is they just haven't guarded anybody. And Richie Saunders being out, one of their, you know, lottery pick players, has been a big, big deal for them. They've struggled down the stretch. If Texas beats NC State, I could see Texas beating BYU. I could see Texas giving Gonzaga all they could handle. But I still have Gonzaga there currently because I don't know the matchup yet, but that's something to watch too. The Texas could be a wild card of that 11 seed, an outstanding offensive team that sometimes defense can be optional, but they really can score the ball, and they have some really high level athletes. In a weird way, just real quick on that too, Texas played Xavier last year in the play-in game. This is a separate thought of the play-in game, and Texas lost that game to Xavier. Weird thing is Xavier was coached by Sean Miller, and Daylon Swain was one of their main players. Swain now transferred to Texas as Miller is now the coach there. So the experience of playing in the play-in game for both the winners and the losers, because there were a number of guys on Texas' team that played and lost that game, it's just an interesting dynamic that Texas is back there again with the guy that's coaching him and one of their lead dogs there. Ultimately, I have Gonzaga and Arizona 1-3, right. And then I have Arizona going through.
I love it. Arizona against Gonzaga. We've seen those teams play in the NCAA tournament before. And my friend, let's close with the Midwest region, where Michigan is the one seed and Michigan minus 130 to go to the Final Four. Iowa State is the two plus 245. Virginia, the three at 11. Tennessee, the six seed at 13. Texas Tech at 17, obviously with no JT Toppin. Alabama at 10. Kentucky lurking as the seven seed. Dallin, Midwest region to close in about 2 minutes.
I like Akron to beat Texas Tech. I think Akron's the best team in the MAC. I've been saying it for a while. They can space you. They can shoot you. Johnson's an elite guard. So I'd like them to actually upset Texas Tech. We don't know what Christian Anderson's situation is. Them against Bama, there's going to be a billion points. I still have Bama playing. Michigan to the Elite Eight. UVA over Tennessee. And then I like this Iowa State, really. I think Santa Clara over Kentucky, too. I think that's a little bit of a trendy pick. But Santa Clara's got some high-level talent. They can play it. They can space. They can shoot it. And I think Kentucky's their margin of victory is very small. They have to play a certain way to win. They have to defend at a high level. I like Santa Clara there. Iowa State over UVA. Iowa State playing Michigan, and this is where I get at least a little less chalky, is Michigan without LJ Kason, they have no backup point guard. Elliott Cadeau can struggle at times with size and physicality, especially trying to play in his pick-and-roll situation. Iowa State's just going to guard the crap out of you. Michigan does turn it over. That's one of their weaknesses, to turn over in 17% of their possessions. In league play, that was 14th out of the 18-team Big Ten. Iowa State's top five in turnover rate. They're going to blitz ball screens, going to keep you on the side. They're going to make it hard for them. I like Iowa State to beat Michigan and be in the Final Four.
Well, so Duke, the winner of Duke, Florida, Arizona, and Iowa State for you right now, Dallin, is your Final Four?
That's the Final Four, and we have a rematch of the way we started the whole season. Florida, Arizona. I think Florida beats Duke, avenges the loss they suffered at the hands of in Cameron Indoor by a couple points. Arizona beats Iowa State in the rematch of a game we saw last week that was bananas. Florida against Arizona. My head says Arizona's going to win this thing. My heart says Florida. I want to see a back-to-back. I want to see Florida do it again. So your boy put Florida in the middle. Florida in the middle circle, back-to-back champs, an unlikely spot given where they started in November, December.
Dude, you're absolutely crushing it all over the place, doing an amazing job for a bunch of different outlets. At Dallin Cuff on Twitter, my friend, congratulations on the success. Best of luck on the tournament, and we'll catch up with you down the line.
Thanks, man. Be well.
Dallin Cuff joining us here on You Better, You Bet. I love that. He is exceptional. We got to haul ass here to the end of the show. Trivia question of the day, courtesy of our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what do we got for today's trivia question?
All right, Nick, pretty straightforward. Of course, we had Selection Sunday. Big Ten led the way with 12 bids, SEC with 10. Now, last year, the SEC had 14 teams. So with these mega conferences, double-digit bids, that's become the norm for these big conferences. But, of course, it didn't happen for years. So, Nick, what conference was the first conference that had double-digit bids, and what year did it happen?
No one's going to get this question right. I love the question. I don't think anyone's getting this question right. If you know it in the YouTube chat, chime in. You can tweet us as well. Myself, Tyler, and Kenny will get the question wrong, but we'll try and answer it on the other side and give you all our bets for tonight to wrap up the Monday edition of the show right after this.
The NCAA Tournament. Listen to every three, every dunk, and every buzzer beater. Download the free Westwood One Sports app now and catch every second of March Madness. Westwood One Sports.
In the game of life, every point matters, especially when it comes to your loved ones. Score big for your family this March by securing life insurance with SelectQuote. Their team of experienced, licensed insurance agents can help you find the right policy at the right price in just minutes. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. My wife's also 40, and her $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. Plus, with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. Whether you need a $100,000 policy or a $10 million policy, SelectQuote can help you score big on affordable coverage. Don't let the clock run out on your chance to protect your family's future.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-840-3030. That's 1-800-840-3030. Or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-840-3030. Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast.
ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works? Grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Have you or a family member been diagnosed with early-stage non-small cell lung cancer that can be removed by surgery? Consider talking to an oncologist about your treatment options. Why? Because knowing your options before you have surgery can help your care team develop a treatment plan that's right for you. Learn about a potential treatment plan before and after surgery at askbeforesurgery.com. That's askbeforesurgery.com. And talk to an oncologist before your surgery.
I'm one of those people who will happily eat steak and eggs any time of the day. Breakfast, dinner, it's technically midnight, but I'm still hungry. Doesn't matter. There's just something unbeatable about a good steak hitting a hot pan. That immediate sizzle, the smell filling the kitchen, and then topping it with a fried egg where the yolk is deep yellow and just barely runny. Unreal. Pure protein heaven. That's also why I love having Omaha Steaks on hand. The steaks are incredibly tender, super flavorful, and cook evenly, whether I'm searing them on the stovetop or throwing them on the grill. It's that steakhouse quality bite at home. Omaha Steaks has everything from their fan favorite filet mignon, yes, the USDA certified tender one, to burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and even fully cooked comfort meals like beef pot roast or meat lover's lasagna for nights when you still want high protein but zero effort. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.